Well, good morning, everyone. We are beginning a new series this morning on this inauspicious thing we call church. Why are we actually here? Now, as it turns out, on the morning of Easter, some of you may know this, there is a newsletter that I'm subscribed to from a secular news organization called, it's called the New York Times. Maybe you've heard of it. So it comes up with this newsletter, and then on Easter morning, the newsletter is titled Why America or America Wants or Needs a God. I can't actually remember what it said, but I do have some things quoted from it that I'd like to read to you. Because science is pretty bullish on church. It's actually good for us to be here. It's good for us not just spiritually, but physically and emotionally. To wit, there is overwhelming empirical support for the value of being at a house of worship on a regular basis, on all kinds of metrics, mental health, physical health, having more friends, being less lonely. People who practice a religion tend to be happier than those who don't, a study by the Pew Research Center found. They are also healthier. They are significantly less likely to be depressed or to die prematurely from suicide, alcoholism, cancer, cardiovascular illness, or other causes, multiple studies from Harvard found. So here I am telling you, you've already done your job. Good job. You're here. You're here at church. Did you pat yourself on the back? You're clapping for yourself. That's it. That's applause for ourselves. We're here. We actually did it. Pat yourself on the back. I'm here. Yeah. Now, of course, I have lots of things to say about the generalities in that particular newsletter, but I won't say it. I'll just say that it may have occurred to you that a lot of the things that we do here on a Sunday morning from service to service is strange. We sing. When do you ever sing? With a bunch of other people. Do you do this on a regular basis? Some of us sing. We like to sing by ourselves. We like to sing in the car. We like to sing in the shower. We like to sing on the train, not very loud. You know what I mean? We don't really sing ever together. And how many of you on a regular basis actually go to a lecture weekly? You go and you listen to somebody talk to you for 30 minutes at a pop. No, not particularly entertaining. Does anybody ever do that on a regular basis? Why do we actually do it? Or why do we take communion? What is this business of communion about? Or why do we do the offering? Why do we have all sorts of things that happen here at church, including ministry to kids? Is ministry to our teens, to our middle schoolers, to our kids, is that babysitting so you can get a break? Or is it purposeful? Well, we believe that everything we do here is for a reason. Everything that we do here actually has a purpose behind it. Everything that we do here, from the moment that you step out of your car to when you come into this room, when you drop your kids off over there, your middle schoolers run racing as fast as they can go to Limitless so they can go to the game room. You know, everything that we do here, we believe, is freighted with power and purpose and presence. And so we want to talk about that over the next 7 weeks. The value of church. We're going to look at all these different elements. Different pastors will preach. Next week, we have our regional leader, Danny Mercado, come and speak to us. We're going to cast vision for church. And we're going to do it through the words of the victorious and resurrected one, Jesus himself. And so this morning, very, very simple. We're just going to ask the question, why do we gather? Why are we here? And to do that, we're going to look at just three verses this morning from Matthew chapter 18. So if you've got your Bible, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to look at 18 through 20. It'll be thrown up on the screen as well. Let's read together. Verse 18. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Verse 19. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. This is the word of the Lord. Now, if you've been in church any length of time, you've probably heard these verses before. Maybe you've heard them because it's such a powerful promise, isn't it? Two or more of you are gathered in my name, there I am I with them. That's really powerful. So maybe you've heard it in the context of when we sing, the manifest presence of God is with us. Maybe you even have even heard these verses as kind of a rubber stamp of God's approval for any time we gather, no matter what we're doing. And while that's not all necessarily wrong, this passage tells us something very, very powerful about what it is that is happening when we are together. What it is that's happening when we, the gathered people, the church, meet together. Every time we gather together, there's something really, really important happening. This is a reconstitution of a gathered people's identity. We're not here. We're not bound necessarily by a fraternal affection toward one another, even though I hope you like the person sitting next to you. We're not here because we're bound necessarily by a certain set of shared social justice commitments, even though we believe that justice is God's intention for our world. We're not necessarily here even though we kind of like do the same kinds of things that maybe your church did when you were growing up. You're like, I want to find a church that did kind of the same things that my church did when I was growing up. I want to sing for a little bit. I want to hear some announcements. And I want to hear someone talk. I mean, we're not even here because of that, even though each one of these things we believe has a lot of freight to it, a lot of weight to it. The Bible, Jesus in particular, tells us that we are here together because we are the kingdom. The purpose of being the kingdom on earth. This is why we are here. This is what Jesus is saying with these verses. We are together for the purpose of being the kingdom of God on earth. Let me explain. What's the kingdom? Well, the kingdom is, quite simply, the rule and the reign of our king, of God, our king. At the end of time, what we know will happen is that God's rule and reign will be comprehensively and totally over everyone and everything in all of creation at the end of time, abolishing all sin and death, getting rid of all pain and grief. That is the coming kingdom, and it is glorious. And so when Jesus walked the earth in the first century, by the way, how many of you know that there is a reason why our Gospels have a lot of chapters before we get to the crucifixion? His life was actually pretty important. There was something that was happening with his life. And what was the primary thing, I believe, that was happening with his life? He was bringing the kingdom of God near. He was bringing the kingdom with him. He was the king. He brings the kingdom with him. This is why all throughout the Synoptic Gospels, you see Jesus saying over and over again, hey, the kingdom of God, he doesn't say the hey, I'm rude. He just is like, the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is here. Why is it here? Well, because I'm here. I'm the king. I bring the kingdom. I bring all the effects of the kingdom. I bring everything that the kingdom is about. This is why so much healing happened. Because how many of you know that at the end of time, nobody's going to be sick. Nobody's going to die. That's why he raised the dead. He brings the kingdom with him. And so now consider that in light of the two or more gathering together. Two or more gathering together, there am I with them. So what is he saying? He's saying, when we are together, when two or more of us together, the kingdom of God is among us. The kingdom of God is near. I'm there. I'm the king. That means I bring the kingdom. What he was telling his disciples in Matthew 18 is that everything that the disciples experienced while he was with them, all of the explosive signs and wonders, all of the ministry to the poor, all of the arching of humanity back to God, that's going to happen after he leaves through his spirit when they are together. We are here to express the kingdom of God together. That's why we're here. Two or more gathered together is a powerful, powerful promise. And what is Jesus saying? He's saying, Oh, get ready, because when you're together, anything could happen. The now of the kingdom is the possibility of every moment when the church is in the room together. It's part of what he's saying. And he tells us that there are three different ways in which the kingdom is expressed by the church. Three different ways in these three short verses. Number one, binding and loosing. Number two, potent, powerful prayer. And number three, forgiveness and reconciliation. So let's dig in. Binding and loosing. Let's start with that. What does that actually mean? What does binding and loosing mean? Well, binding and loosing are rabbinic terms for what is and what is not permitted. So you might recall that in Matthew 16, Peter tells Jesus, here's who you are. Well, Jesus is saying, well, who do the crowd say that I am? And Jesus is like, I say that you are the Son of God. And then Jesus tells Peter, gives Peter this promise. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And of course, we look at those verses and we think, man, wow, Peter, given such power, such privilege, such authority. But then just two chapters later, he says the same thing to his disciples. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the binding and loosing is not just given to Peter, it's given to you, it's given to me. Peter was given the keys of the kingdom, so are you. In fact, would you just hold your hands out for a moment? In your hands is power. In your hands is power. Every time we're together, in your hands is power. Every time that we are here together as a church, something happens inside of us, to us, so that we can do the same thing that Peter actually did. We have keys. We can open the door to the kingdom for others. That's actually what is called evangelism, by the way. You open the door of the kingdom for others so they can walk through and receive the love and the power of God. So, binding and loosing. What is and what is not permitted? We started with saying Peter has been given this power to bind and to loose. We're given that too. So what does that actually mean? Well, the verses that directly precede these verses we just read tell us something about that. It's called context. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I mean, lots of things that we could say about these verses. But one thing that you will read when you see those verses, that you will see those verses that are about reconciliation, they're about forgiveness, they're about the correction of brothers and sisters in the church. Therefore, part of what Jesus is telling us with Matthew 18 is that the mission of the church is reconciliation. The mission of the church is forgiveness. The mission of the church is to bring all of humanity together, to reconcile them to God, or to receive the reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ, and to bind people together, to bring people together, to release the alien act of forgiveness for one another. The church is supposed to be the place where forgiveness happens. That's part of what it means to bind and to loose. How many of you know that there is a loosing, there is a freedom that happens when we receive forgiveness? How many of you know that when you forgive your brother or sister, you're released, you're loosed from a burden? Anybody ever experienced that? But I believe that the binding and loosing is not just about reconciliation. I think that what Jesus is also talking about with these verses is power. Because the kingdom is power. It's the rule and the reign of God. In other words, He is superior over anything supernatural that exists in the universe. It's a supernatural reign over other powers. It's a supernatural reign over, to quote Moby Dick again, I'm sorry, the proud gods and commodores of the earth. They don't stand a chance against our king. And what he's saying is as I have bound and loosed things while I was on earth, he did a lot of that, by the way. He did not permit demons to speak. He loosed and gave freedom to all sorts of different people through healing and through deliverance. Did a lot of that. He's saying, you do that too. That's part of what it means to be in the kingdom. You get to do those things as well. You can bind the demonic just as I bound the demonic. You can pray for deliverance just as I prayed for deliverance. You can pray for the release of freedom. So I prayed for freedom, you can pray for it too. All of that can happen through the Spirit of God. Part of the reason why we are together is to express all of that power. That's why we're here. A little more than a week ago, we had a Good Friday service, and all these people sat over in that corner of the room. Hey, Smiths, how are you? A bunch of people got healed. I mean, I just keep getting reports of healing from Good Friday, and physical healing. People were healed. This last service, we were praying for healing. We were praying for the loosing of the power of God onto people so that they could be healed. Because that's the thing. At the end of time, one of the signs of the kingdom is we will all be whole. And so here I am praying for this man. And he's like, would you pray for my legs? And I'm like, yeah. I will do that. I will pray for your legs. But I had no faith. But I'm here in the church. And so I prayed for him. And guess what? He said, I started at a 7. Now I feel like a 3. My legs are starting to feel good. And I couldn't even believe it. But that's what happens when we're here in the room. People get healed. We can do that, by the way, everywhere we go because we are carriers of the kingdom. But man, there is something about being in this room that's important. That's why we come. And I'm not saying that healing, we shouldn't do therapy. I mean, I do therapy. But it should be said that even therapy, I believe, is a sign of healing. And healing is a sign of the kingdom. And so we bind and we loose. That's part of why we're here together. We also pray. This is the other thing, potent prayer that Jesus is telling us is an expression of the kingdom. The second aspect of our expression of the kingdom together is prayer. One of the ways that Jesus tells us to express the rule and reign of God is to pray. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Wow. And we need to treat prayer in a much more fulsome way. I can't do that right now. But I just want to leave you with this promise. When we ask and when we do that together, God answers. So to unleash the action of God unto all of creation, what do? We pray. The kingdom of God is among us because the presence of Jesus is with us and his Spirit is in us. Then we pray. All the things that we are called to do, all of the miraculous signs of the kingdom breaking in, all of the healings, all of the prophetic words, all of the justice work we're meant to do, all of the raising up of children and youth, all of the urban farming. By the way, April 22nd was Earth Day. We sort of celebrated that yesterday by having a documentary screening by Vineyard Green. That's all work that should be initiated, should be held by, should be empowered by prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Has it ever occurred to you that we pray every week together? We do it. It's called the Lord's Prayer. This is part of the reason why we pray the Lord's Prayer is because we want to do the thing that Matthew 18 is telling us to do, to pray together, to agree together on something. We don't just pray it because the church has historically prayed it for years and we want to give you something familiar to hold on to. I mean, that's part of the reason why we pray it. But it's not the only reason, not the primary one. We don't just pray it because we know that when you pray something over and over again, it gets inside of you and it becomes sort of like this almost automatic response. We don't just do it for that reason. And I know that it forms us because I've watched you pray this prayer. You probably prayed this, and here's how I know, because you prayed this prayer as a kid, and when you prayed it as a kid, you prayed different words. So every time we pray our words, you're like, wait, what? You know what I'm talking about? Where are all the these and the thous? Why are we saying debts and debtors and not trespasses? I prayed it that way as a kid. And even though you see it on screen, you have to do a double take and you have to start and pray it again because it so formed you. That's what we want to do. We want the prayer to actually get inside of you such that when you least expect it, it comes out of your mouth. When you're standing at a bedside in the hospital and you don't know what to pray, all of a sudden you remember, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We want it to get inside of you. And we know that when we pray these prayers together and we pray them over and over and over again, something happens. You almost begin to memorize it. And not only do you memorize it, it gets printed in the inside of your heart. So that if something happens, it's the first thing that maybe comes out of your mouth. We pray it because it's formational, but that's not the primary reason why we pray it. We pray it because have you ever noticed that the Lord's Prayer is supplication? Have you ever noticed that the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is saying, boy, you're going to ask for some stuff, and it's going to be some big stuff indeed. Jesus says, anytime you gather together and you agree on something together, man, my Father is going to do it. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, that's our moment of intercession. It ever occurred to you that the Lord's Prayer is a whole set of requests to God? Here's a big request. Let your kingdom come here on earth as in heaven. That's a pretty big request, isn't it? Part of what Jesus is saying is every time you pray that, it matters. God's listening. There are other requests too in that prayer. It's funny, I was having this conversation in between services because I made mention of this. So I'm about to tell you something, and it's going to sound like a brag, okay? But it's not. It's not a humble brag. It's not whatever. I'm just going to tell you something, okay? I've been paying very, very close attention to the book of John because I just felt like the Lord told me you should memorize the book of John. So I'm about 11 chapters in. And I'm not telling you this because I'm the pastor and this is what pastors do. They memorize books of the Bible. I'm not telling you. This is just the way that I have interacted with God in my time with God. I've been memorizing the book of John. And part of the reason why memorization is so helpful is because you may have noticed my attention span's not great. So when I read, I have read something over and over and over again, and I just like, oh yeah, I'm familiar with that. I don't pay attention. Memorization forces me to pay attention. That's why I think I memorize. It's not a brag, it's a thing that I have to do. What I've noticed, though, as I've memorized John, is that Jesus is constantly telling his disciples that their prayer should look a certain way. Their prayer should look a certain way. And what should it look like? It should look like ask. Ask. Over and over again in the book of John, Jesus tells his disciples, ask. Oh, and if you didn't hear it, ask again. Oh, if you didn't hear it, ask again. Ask whatever you wish in my name, in my character, in my ethos, and the Father will give it to you. He tells them that over and over and over again. And one of the interesting things about the Lord's Prayer, the reason why we pray the Lord's Prayer, is because it's full of ask. In fact, one of the best things that you could do is just pray the Lord's Prayer all the time. Just pray it all the time. Get one of those, go on one of those monastic websites and order like a little prayer rope. And you know what I'm talking about? Some of you know they've got beads and just every bead, just like pray the Lord's Prayer for every bead. Just pray the Lord's Prayer. You could do probably a lot of good by doing that because the Lord's Prayer is a set of asks. And part of what Jesus is saying is that every time you pray this prayer, man, God is listening. And so you probably know what I'm about to ask you to do now. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer one more time, shall we? We're going to just throw this up on screen, and if you are able, would you stand as we pray this prayer? And now, as we pray this prayer, I'm going to ask you to think of this prayer in a certain kind of way. You're going to think of it in light of all of the difficulty or trouble you're experiencing in your life right now. Okay? So take a moment. Close your eyes, bow your head. Just think about one to three to five things in your life that just cause you worry, that cause you stress, that cause you to have some anxiety. Think about that for a moment. And now I invite you to open your eyes and pray the Lord's Prayer in light of all of that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, amen. You may be seated. Pretty good prayer, huh? Yes. Not bad, Jesus. Not bad. Covers all the bases. Here's the third and final expression before we get to prayer. Get to some binding and loosing this morning. The third and final expression of the kingdom is forgiveness. Remember, we talked about the beginning of this passage and how the context of it is about correction of a brother or sister, but it's strange. What comes right after this passage is also about forgiveness. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? And you're really going to like what I'm about to ask you. You're going to love it. You're going to think, man, Peter, you are such a merciful guy. Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. In other words, forgiveness should mark the way that you are with people. We're meant to be people of forgiveness who forgive one another. Has it ever occurred to you that you've got to be with people to forgive them? And that's part of why we're here. You know, it's strange and wholly wonderful. I know for certain that we have people in this room who have demonstrated the kingdom of God by forgiving their neighbor. I know it. And I know that there are people in this room who have actually forgiven other people in this room. Maybe the person sitting in the other section, you've actually forgiven. I know there are people in this room that are like that. And I gotta tell you, I know that because the staff has had to do that for one another. I've watched it. Our pastors have had to learn how to be the kingdom together, not just by praying for signs and wonders, not just by praying for the sick, not just by doing the hard work of restorative justice together, but actually forgiving each other. It's messy to be on a pastoral staff. I'm going to tell you how the sausage is made. Like as we work together to work on these kingdom things together. You think that our meetings would be uninterrupted prayer where we are having encounter with God at all times. But as it turns out, we're human. We're imperfect. We're messy. We say things that hurt one another. We speak out of cultural locatedness and don't understand one another. And so therefore, we've had to forgive each other. And yet, they still keep showing up. And yet, they still work together, they still lock arms together, they still make pupusas together on a random Monday night. They do it all, and they demonstrate the kingdom of God by being together even when they've hurt one another, because pastors, just like every other person in the kingdom, express the kingdom through forgiveness. We even have a way of doing it. We have a way when someone comes to us and confronts us and tells us, well, that thing that you really said hurt me. Or that thing, I don't understand why you did that or why you acted in that particular way. And so we have this way. What we do is we ask to hear the impact of our actions. I'm so sorry that happened. Could you tell me what the impact of my actions were? And then we offer humble apology. And then we repromise. I'll give you my word now that I know that. That type of thing. We make messes. But we understand the part of what it means to be together, the good part of what it means to be together, is that we demonstrate the alien act of forgiveness. The thing that marks and distinguishes this community is reconciliation and forgiveness. The world is not a forgiving place, but boy, our God is forgiving. And this place is meant to be the place where forgiveness happens. And I could say a whole lot about forgiveness. I can't treat it in the way that it deserves. Know that forgiveness doesn't always demand that we continue to stay in relationship. Matthew 18 recognizes that sometimes it's necessary to set boundaries when people refuse to listen to the ways they're harming others. We know that it's complicated, but it's still the miracle that speaks of God. And so we forgive. One of the things that you may have noticed about our church is this diversity. Or maybe not. You've noticed this is a diverse place. People are very different from one another. We're all sitting in the same room together. Now, some of that is the happy outcome of being in the location that we occupy. We've gotten, as Stevenson would say, proximate. We're proximate. We're close to the most diverse zip code in Chicago, actually, is right across Howard Street, just south of the church. And so we've gotten proximate. But how many of you know that diversity is not just proximity? It's also intention. It's also action. It's also a thing, by the way, that our founding pastor, Steve Nicholson, prayed a lot about. Prayed a whole lot about it. Watching a PBS documentary and seeing the division and the hostility in the world between people who look very different from one another. And I remember this story. Steve cried. And he might have prayed. Did you pray, Steve? Yeah, he probably prayed. He prayed lots, he said. He prayed lots. By the way, this thing about prayer, it's kind of funny. Like if you ever go to, this has been my experience, but if you've ever gone to Steve for any counseling, you know what Steve would tell you. He would say the first thing out of his mouth oftentimes would be, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? And why did he say that? It wasn't a shortcut. It wasn't like a, well, I'll tell you that, and you probably haven't, so you'll have to leave then. No, it wasn't that at all. What it was a reminder of Matthew 18, that when we pray, the action of God is unleashed on the world. And so he prayed. And part of the way that the action of God was released onto us is diversity. It's intention, it's action. We do lots of things to cultivate multiculturalism at the church. We intentionally hire diverse staff. We listen to and act your feedback where we can. We want your feedback. If you got feedback about how we're doing as a place that wants to be hospitable to every tribe and tongue, because that's the kingdom, by the way, we want to hear it. Because diversity is not just characteristic, it's intention. Diversity also is prophetic. It points to the future of the kingdom of God, where every tribe and every tongue is under the banner of the love of God. A lot of people come here and say, the thing that I love about your church is diversity. And you know what they're really saying? They're saying, there's a dream of a thing that's coming in the future where people will love one another regardless of what they look like or where they've come from or what they've done. And that's the kingdom. And that's why I want to be here. And that's what we do when we're the church. We gather to show the action of God, that he would love all of humanity, not just people who look of a certain kind, who are educated a certain way, or who have this much money or this little money. No, it's for everyone and everybody. And that's why we do it together. We're not just here for good feelings. We're not just here because we want to be, this isn't because we're woke. We are here because we've been called by the King to be the kingdom. And that's why we're here as a church. And by the way, so lots to say, lots more to say. But I want to leave us to do a little bit of binding and loosing. Now, we talked a little bit about when the church is gathered together, we do a bunch of different things. One of the things that we do together is we pray. So we pray the Lord's Prayer together. One of the things that we do together is we just sit in the room. I know, by the way, that it's a forgiving act for some of you to walk through the door and sit in here. We know that it's reconciliation for you even to be here. And so thank you for being here. But we also are here to loose the power of God on us. And so we want to pray. And so I think we've got some folks that got some words to direct maybe some of our prayer. But what we will do, because we had so many people here on Easter that we put out a new section of chairs over there, and thank you for sitting there, by the way. And so now our prayer teams will be over in this section of the room over there where you see Andrew sitting. Hi, Andrew. But we'd like to pray. We'd like to pray for healing for you, and then we've also got some other words. And so, as a reminder, we are the church. Every time we say, I go out and be the church, part of what we're saying is, go out and be the kingdom. Bring the kingdom with you. That's what you are. You're a kingdom carrier. And so, Spirit of God, I pray that you deposit in each one of us the courage and the boldness and the gentleness that is required of us to be the kingdom in the world. Would you do that in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. Please come up and receive some prayer. Go out and be the church. We'll see you next week.